Hi, I'm Adam.
And I'm Nitsan, and this is The Final Curtain, a special series from Stories from the Eastern West, bringing you personal accounts from the collapse of the Eastern Bloc.
For today's episode, our producer Monica traveled to Petrila, a small town in Transylvania in Romania. Under the communist system, which heavily relied on coal, the Petrila mine produced up to 1.3 million tons of coal per year.
Ion Barbu, the mine's topographer and a famous caricaturist, told us how he lived and laughed through those times.
Coming up on The Final Curtain.
Dramatic eyewitness accounts of fighting in Bucharest.
Police had forcefully beaten demonstrators in East Berlin.
Thousands of Czechoslovaks shaking their house keys.
The protest movement is now too big to be controlled.
Good evening. It is over in Poland.
Iron Curtain across Europe, torn down.
Mă numesc Ion Barbu, sunt cel mai frumos, cel mai deștept, cel mai...
My name is Ion Barbu. I am the most beautiful, most intelligent, the most hardworking, the greatest artist, the biggest landowner in Petrila. I am the mayor of Petrila.
Orașului Petrila și toate astea simt...
And I figured all of this out on my own.
E voie să glumim?
Is joking allowed?
Ah, e voie să glumim.
It's allowed. That's good then.
Taică meu a venit în Valea Jiului.
My father came to Jiu Valley for his military service. They forced him to work in the mine as part of the military.
Ca militar. Mama mea care a lucrat.
My mother worked at the Petrila mine as a clerk all her life.
Deci mina Petrila este...
The Petrila mine was founded in 1859 and was the deepest mine in the Jiu Valley and the most complex one.
Și a fost...
It's for this reason that it used to be called, back when it was still open, the Academy of Romanian Mining.
Pentru că erau foarte multe straturi...
Because there were so many layers of coal. And for each layer, a different technology was necessary.
O altfel de tehnologie. Și de aia se spunea că cine
That's why they said that whoever had worked in the Petrila mine had a PhD in mining. During its most developed period, 4,200 people worked in it. At its peak, it produced 1,300,000 tons of coal a year. In seventh grade, during the summer holidays, I spent a month working at the mine's carpentry workshop. I made stairs for miners who needed them underground. It was later on when I descended into the mine. At first, I thought it would be for a short time, but I stayed for 15 years. I descended in 1978, after I finished university, and was assigned to the Petrila
mine.
I tried to run away from the mine, but it wasn't possible. I found other places I could take refuge in, like the local press. I also tried to become a curator at the mining museum. But you needed a party membership card to get in, and I didn't have one. Then I had children. They had to be raised and needed a miner's wage, so to speak. And after all, you get used to it. You think, I'll stay a year longer, and then you stay one more. So you see, it became 15 years. And the revolution had to arrive for me to finally part ways with the mine, to be able to follow my other career.
Pentru mine a fost o experiență.
For me, communism was a very sad experience, but at the same time, it considerably fueled the work I started after mining. Without this traumatic experience, I would have probably chosen to paint flowers and landscapes and such, but I didn't have that calling.
N-aveam chemare pentru... Da.
I made my debut in the national press when I was 14 years old. I was in the 9th grade, and from then on, my whole life was a caricature.
De atunci, toată viața a fost o caricatură. Adică, de atunci și până acum...
That is, from then till now, if I were to submit my papers to Guinness World Records, I think I'd come in first place. I've published during... How many years have there been? No point counting them. More than 15,000 drawings.
Peste 15,000 de desene.
All of them in good quality press. But I've never felt the same joy and pride I had after my debut. Petrila was a small town, not that many inhabitants. Just being published made you a top star by default.
Așa, îmi dau seama că eram...
I realize I was just a little fool at the time, but
nici n-am mai evoluat prea mult.
I haven't made great progress since either.
De atunci.
Before 89, you drew caricatures without any words, but after 89, your mouth was opened, or you opened it yourself and you'd make a caricature with words. With a precise target.
Știi, acum e și filozofia desenului.
There is a philosophy behind drawing without the use of words. With words you address a specific person. You can draw their face so it can be recognized. You aim in one direction, bullseye. When you draw something without words, you can offer a lot of interpretations, which in a dictatorship is extremely important.
Condițiile unei dictaturi erau extrem de important.
There were cases when they took you to the Securitate, the secret police, and asked you, what did you mean by this? Did you mean... And you'd say, no man, I was thinking of something else. And you gave them another explanation. Yes? Yes. No, they didn't believe me, obviously. But you had something to defend yourself with, you know?
Dar tu nu puteai să-i faci figura lui Ceaușescu.
What's more, everyone knew that the person in the drawing was Ceaușescu, but you couldn't draw his face, so you made a generic face. It was obvious though, even they were getting it. It could only be Ceaușescu. So you said, no man, it's someone from Latin America, someone else, not here. Here we have democracy. Don't we have democracy, officer? Is that what you're saying?
Ce vreți să spuneți?
I had one drawing which won an international prize, and I had big problems with the Securitate because of it. It was about Ceaușescu's cult. Let me tell you what it was like. It was in the form of a comic strip. There's a poor guy who comes home tired from his job. He enters his house,
dădea drumul la radio.
Turns on the radio.
Ceaușescu.
Ceaușescu.
Închidea radio.
He turns it off.
Dădea drumul la televizor.
He turns on the TV.
Ceaușescu.
Ceaușescu. He turns it off. He opens a newspaper. Ceaușescu. He closes it, puts it aside. He opens a book and there is Ceaușescu on the first page. The man gets hungry, so he goes to the fridge, takes out a can of fish and stands with it, like Hamlet with a skull in his hand, and says, to open or not to open.
So deschid, să nu deschid. Deci, ăsta e cultul lui Ceaușescu.
So that was Ceaușescu's cult.
Deci, cine era securitatea?
Who were the Securitate? Well, they were everything.
Totul. Când am spus totul,
When I say everything, I know what I'm saying, because even if someone didn't work at the Securitate, it was everywhere. Even in your family, someone had to be a part of it. I think there wasn't a single social cell where you didn't have someone working for them. And the documents that were later opened confirmed this. Now, I won't go as far as to suspect my family that someone was an informer. But there had to be one. So what can I say? It was fear. Let me tell you about one experience. That drawing I was talking about earlier. Because of that, I was summoned to the Securitate and interrogated from morning until late at night. I think it was the darkest day of my life. Although they didn't resort to the necessary beating, the psychological pressure I was subjected to that day was terrible. It was better if you never paid them a visit.
Deci era bine să nu le calci pragul. Am descoperit că
a very good friend of mine, who was a priest at the church I sometimes went to, he was a frequent guest at our house. He came by, we would discuss this and that. Well, after the revolution, I found out that he was an informer for the Securitate.
Era informator al securității.
So you see, he was just one of them.
Era unul dintre... Da.
I mean, the disappointments were very big regarding those in whom you invested even a small amount of trust, when in fact, yeah.
No,
because I'm afraid that I will find out some things that... I'm a sentimental guy, and it could make me suffer very, very much. So it's better to live with some suspicions, caused you harm. In the meantime, you can forgive the people you think might have caused you harm. But I don't want to see the file. To my shame, especially since it's said that caricaturists are the best futurologists, it's not me who said that, but somebody smarter than me, but I never imagined that change would come to Romania.
This is Radio Bucharest, Romania. Today, December 22nd, 1989, the dictatorial regime of Nicolae Ceaușescu was overthrown.
Păi să știi că m-am tot îndoit.
You know, I kept doubting it over and over when it started in Timișoara and I was listening to Radio Free Europe. I heard those famous machine gunshots and the rumors that were going around. And in the end, they turned out to be true about there being so many casualties. I was convinced that this dictator and the long arm of the secret police would do everything possible to stifle the revolution.
Și eram la mină, știi, asta e partea foarte frumoasă.
I was at the mine. This is the very nice part. At the Petrila mine, you could hear program 1 of the state radio being transmitted all the time, all over the place, you know?
Programul 1 de la radio.
And suddenly, from the loudspeaker in the office, we heard, "Brothers, we have vanquished him. The dictator has fled."
Am învins, dictatorul a fugit.
The Securitate's representative at the mine was running through all the offices, turning off all the loudspeakers. Another person I saw at the Petrila mine that day was the mine's secret policeman himself. He was going around in a blue lab coat, the first time I'd ever seen him dressed like that. He was going around nervously until people caught him and tore off his lab coat. And why was he wearing that coat? Because underneath it, he had a gun.
Mi s-a părut atât de straniu că primul lucru care
it all seemed so strange. So the first thing I did was run home from work and see what was happening on TV. And there it was. That's when I believed it.
atunci am crezut că gata s-a.
The priest I was telling you about, the one who'd come by my house and was a snitch, he organized the first demonstration and religious procession in Petrila. The site of a parade hadn't been seen here since 23rd August 1944. It was beautiful. He was at the forefront, behind him some people carrying those church flags and some icons. They walked in rows of two and three.
După aia niște babe care mergeau și
then there were some old ladies who were walking and singing some religious songs because it was Christmas Eve. And towards the tail end of the demonstration, there were many, many young people who were chanting,
Ceaușescu anul nou îl va face în cavou.
Ciao, Cescu, New Year's Day, you'll spend it in the grave.
Asta era, era toată demonstrația.
So this was the whole demonstration, you know? It would have made fantastic film footage.
O imagine de film formidabilă. Cum s-a terminat cu Ceaușescu?
How did it end with Ceaușescu?
Urât.
Ugly. Urât. Really ugly. They killed him.
Omorât. Da.
I was invited some 4 years ago to Târgoviște, to a theater festival, and the theater was close to the barracks where Ceaușescu was executed. I went there to see the place of the killing. I was very disappointed. He deserved a better place.
Merita un loc mai bun.
And I wished I was able to take care of that place, but I'm afraid that I'd never be able to do such a thing, because there are still many who regret his death and wouldn't look with kind eyes upon what I would like to make. I would make an amusement park,
Ceaușescu Land.
Take the tourists for a walk, dress them up as soldiers. Ceaușescu and his wife should be waiting in front of the wall. And the tourists, armed with, what's it called? Paintball. You paid 100 euro, you got to shoot two dictators. Was it worth it? It was. And there are many other possible things we could do. You know my principle. I think it was Comrade Marx who said it. We shall say goodbye to the past laughing. And it's good to treat it like that.
Just like the rest of the Eastern Bloc, Romania went through a time of intense and sometimes violent changes that Petrila didn't avoid either. In our next episode, Ion Barbu will tell us how the fall of the Iron Curtain changed his and his friend's life, and how they are now trying to stop the mine and the surrounding town from disappearing.
This episode of The Final Curtain was produced for Culture PL and hosted by Adam Zhuavsky and me, Nitzan Reisner.
If you want to learn more about the story you just heard, see the show notes in your podcast app, or go to the Stories from the East and West website at sftew.com.
Make sure to join us and Ion for the second part of his story next Friday.